Thank you so much. Why don't you appreciate this wonderful worship team? Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. And praise the Lord. It's a cool morning, isn't it? It's a cool morning because Christ is Lord. I want us to start with an exercise. And the exercise is, will involve me and you doing something with your neighbor, right? Now, if you don't have a neighbor, you need one. You need a neighbor. Because I want you to share with your neighbor when you think about Jesus, what one verse comes to your mind of something he said that you really treasure? You know, it's something that's very important to you. And when you think about Jesus, that verse comes to your mind. Just share. Share with your friend. Share with your neighbor. What verse comes to your mind? And tell them why. Why that verse? Okay? So let's do this. So why that verse? Have you told them? Now, there are people who have not told anyone. Do they want to tell me? Excellent. Now, this is a question that you will not answer to your neighbor. But when was the last time you did something in regard to that verse? When was the last time you did something? Either you prayed it, or you lived it out, or stepped out and just challenged yourself. Let me apply this verse practically. When was the last time you did that? This is Convention Sunday. And Convention Sunday we have a week in our calendar where we just think about going out, reaching out, sharing the love of Christ, spreading the word of God. And this was one such week in our calendar. Convention week ought to happen every week of our lives, I do believe. But I think Convention week comes to remind us of that. Now, today's topic was very appropriate. Up there, I was told to talk about speak your faith. The third from below, passing it on in the marketplace. So today I come to you not as a pastor, but as a fellow man, as a fellow husband, as a father, as a worker. And this is my workstation. Okay? This happens to be my workstation. So probably I do a lot of preaching and a lot of sharing. But my question this morning is, how much are you doing of the same wherever you are? Because it is marketplace. In the first convention that ever happened in the church setting, Jesus summoned his disciples and told them what? What did he tell them? After he had resurrected. Now that this is a setting, and you see, Jesus had some 40 days that are very interesting. 40 days when he began his ministry, he went into. Just before he began his ministry, he spent 40 days doing what? Fasting, right? And he fasted. And at the end of that, we are told in Matthew chapter 4, what happened? He was tempted, isn't it? And immediately after that, he launched into the deep. And you will remember, in chapter 4, verse 18, he goes and starts picking out guys, picking Andrew, Peter, John and James, and he calls them and tells them, follow and I'll make you fishers of men. Then he does that. He walks with them, and these guys are lazy sometimes. Sometimes they will sleep when they have been told to pray. Sometimes they will tell Jesus, stop doing some things, and he will tell them, stop, you devil. He spent very good time with them. Sometimes they are hungry, and he asks them for food, and they're wondering, Jesus, are you serious? And he goes on for 3 years. He goes on sharpening them so that they become fishers of men. Recently, we celebrated Easter. And at that particular point, what happened to these 12? In fact, one of them decided to trade Jesus. You know, say, hey, later that. But it didn't end well. The rest denied him, ran away. And Jesus just went through a very painful moment, and it was meant to be. But he emerged, you know. He rose, and lo and behold, who are the first people to see him? The people who are concerned were, you know, even not about the 12, you know. The person who ran into the tomb in the morning, who was he? She. It was Mary Magdalene. You would expect that Peter at least would have been, you know, have gotten this idea and ran to see Jesus has risen, because he had told them over and over. But that doesn't happen. So Jesus resurrects and spends the next set of 40. Okay? And what does he do in this set of 40? That is the context of our passage this morning, Acts chapter 1. Okay. And he, in verse 3 of Acts chapter 1, after his suffering, he showed himself to this man and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. Different settings, different people, different, you know, Peter and guys are walking to Emmaus, and he shows up, and then because Thomas has refused to believe, he shows up in the room through the wall, and lo and behold, Jesus is in the room, and you're wondering, where have you come from? These guys have gone fishing in the morning, and Jesus approaches, and he shows up by the shore and calls Peter. You remember? And tells him, do you love me? You remember that account? And he asked Jesus, Peter, how many times? 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me? And Peter was getting annoyed. Hey, you know. Yeah. Of course, in light of having left him, that didn't, you know, he wasn't reminding him very nice things. But he finally says, you know, he has come and shown them. And then Jesus, in this last 40 days, I like this last part of that verse that says, and spoke about the kingdom of God. So the last 40 days, he was preparing to share what the kingdom of God is about. This last 40 days, he comes and he speaks to them continuously about the kingdom of God. Repeatedly, he just reminds them. He reminds them. In fact, in verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them the command, do not leave Jerusalem. This is the first convention that he summons. But wait for the gift that my Father has promised. If you go back to John chapter 16, you will find it. He had said, do not be afraid as I go, because as I go, I will send you a what? A helper, his Holy Spirit. Now, this moment was just about to happen, and he knew it very well. So he tells them, go wait, guys. Be in the upper room. Wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with the water, But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The first convention was about baptism. And baptism with the Holy Spirit. Why? What for? So when they met together in verse 6, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? You see, all along, these disciples, when they were walking with Jesus, they knew Jesus is a huge guy. And he had performed enough miracles for him to prove that he was a serious man. And in their mind was about restoration of the kingdom of Israel. But by the time he's dying on the cross, he's not even able to save himself. He's not restored the kingdom of Israel. And here they ask, now, in this season of you showing back, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? They are totally still in their own world. They're still focusing on what is important to them, or what seems important to them. And what seems important to them is our world. Make this place a better place. Make this place a nice place for us. Verse 7 says, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Guys, it's not your preoccupation with peace, your preoccupation with restoration of, it's okay, but that is not your business. When you receive the Holy Spirit, who I'm sending, he will enable you to do what? Be witnesses. Be witnesses. The first convention, the biggest gift that was released was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, key job was not to make the believers happy, but so that they would go out and share what he had shared with them over the last 3 years and over the last 40 days, the kingdom of God. You remember his message before he departed was, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. That message he had communicated very clearly. Now, this particular point, now he tells them, it is you now. This ought to be your preoccupation. This ought to be your key job. And not just in Jerusalem. After Jerusalem, you will go to Judea, and from Judea you go to Samaria. In other words, just begin to spread out. And as you spread out, wherever you will find yourself, remember, the key job is to be a witness. Everything else is secondary. What you do, who you become, that's secondary. You will be my witnesses. And that's the biggest job of the Holy Spirit. He is to enable us to become witnesses. Witnesses of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Of his love and of his grace. More about Jesus would I know. More of his saving grace to see. More of his love, who died for me. His grace and his biggest message is the kingdom of God is here. And that's what he wants us to do over and over. Now, many of us ask the question, so what's God, what is my calling? What have you called me to? And sometimes we really spend a lot of time in that question. But God's calling for all of us is clear. Be what? Be witnesses. Nobody could, it's good to go for, you know, a season of prayer and fasting. Just spend a lot of time. God, what do you really want me to do? But as has been made very clear, the moment we come into Him, He fills us with His Spirit, and our businesses cease. His business become the first one. I become a witness for Him, so that wherever He places me, I know I'm here for Him. Isn't it nice that one of the topics that we handled earlier was Sunday, but not Friday? And I was talking about the aspect of taking Christianity as a Sunday apparel. We come, very good, receive the word, act all kind, do everything good on Sunday. On Monday, we hit the road and we live our lives until we come back on Sunday. The reason we have the Holy Spirit in us is so that He would enable us to be witnesses on Monday morning. When I knock into that office and there is this person who has just come with a lot of hangover, their weekend was good. It was very good. He's reporting to office from Naivasha that morning, where he left Nairobi on Friday evening, and he had planned to come back on Sunday at 3. But by Sunday at 3, that's when the party was just beautiful. So all of a sudden, Sunday 3 became Monday 4 a.m. So you've just come straight to the house, just go and change, and yeah, they're at their desk. Monday morning, they had a blast. But you can clearly see in their eyes, have you slept for the last 2 days? What's happening? Tell me. Is there a likelihood that, you know, such a friend would tell you, by the way, I admire the way you just look organized. Yeah? Can we have coffee and you just help me out? Because I'm getting tired of this life. And then you say, atanmi intalipa. Let's talk at 4. And be a witness. Because there is something that is sticking out. There is one guy, I forget who it was, he said, preach the gospel. And if need be, use words. I don't know whether it was St. Augustine. Preach the gospel, and if need be, use words. The Holy Spirit working in us should really be able to bring out moments of, wow, this guy, I really admire just the way they do stuff. And people should be running to us when they are in chaos, because there is something that is in us that the world needs. Our Father who art in heaven, give us, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Now, we are representatives of God's kingdom. And sometimes it's not by saying it, but just by being there. By living our life as we are being propelled by the Holy Spirit. In that meeting, it's heated up and people are just taking sides. And it was like, okay, people, I think we really need to pause here. Can we have a 30-minute break and we come back? And because you have realized we are not going anywhere with this meeting, so you're just looking for an opportunity to go sneak and go ask for intervention in your office in prayer. for wisdom on how to go about it, whether to continue with this meeting or just to kill it for today, because it's not helping. Because the Holy Spirit has prompted and said, no, hold. The kingdom of God is not being glorified in this situation, so stop. Verse 8, you know, be witnesses. You will receive power. This power is not just for my own benefit. It is for God's benefit. It's for God's purpose, Holy Spirit, that I should be his witness. At home, you know. One of my biggest prayers is that my children will really mistake me for, you know, having just spent a lot of time with Christ. And they will know that is not you, Dad. You know, one of our daughters, when she was about 7, surprised me one time and said, Dad, you know I have 2 fathers. Oh, wow. That's huge. Tell me more. And said, yeah, I have you, my earthly father, and I have God, my heavenly father. And we're like, wow. That's so beautiful. I told her, that's so nice. You know why? Because this earthly father can be inconsistent sometimes. But the heavenly father will always be constant. So I'm very happy that you know that you have another father. So that when I have failed you, you can go to the heavenly father. But let me know, you know, when I have done that. At home, does the Holy Spirit enable us to meander, you know, in those moments of conflict, in those moments of anguish, and just gives us peace and rest? And we are witnesses even there. And not just in the nuclear family, but even in the extended family. Because that is our place. We have a responsibility to reach out to those people. I have a responsibility to reach out to my, you know, siblings. And I cannot do it by myself. I really need to depend on the Holy Spirit. And I have to prioritize it. Know that this is what I'm supposed to do. I may sound like I do this stuff, but I want to assure you that I struggle probably as much as you do. I don't do it as often as I should. I don't seize as many opportunities as they present themselves as I should. But that ought to be my priority. The Holy Spirit being in me, I ought to seize every single moment and turn it to be a gospel moment, to be a good news moment. You see, the gospel ought to be the most frequent item in our minds and in our engagements. Good news. And especially in the day that we have a lot of bad news. I think we have so many opportunities to bring about just sharing of the gospel and say, even in this situation, there is a brighter side. Have you considered Jesus? When was the last time you sneaked Jesus into your conversations? Natural, kawaida conversations, you know. But Jesus, you brought Jesus. Huko ndani, shua. Aya. Na Jesus amekuja aje hapa. When was the last time you were mistaken for, wewe wacha kuanza kutuhubiri? When was the last time you were accused for that? When was the last time people stopped talking because they know, no, 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 no. Uyo, watcha, history, watcha too.
tupose kwanza, sababu huyu akikuja ataanza kututolea mistari ya Biblia.
When was the last time?
And it's because you can't help, you know, you are there and you listen, and you're very intentional. At the end of the conversation, you will have brought some verses and told them,
enyewe hiyo maneno tulikuwa tunaongelea hapo, kuna verse in the Bible ambayo inaniambia, we should not do that.
I don't know whether you believe it, but, you know, that's what I believe. You know.
Because I'm supposed to be a witness at all time. And he's just present. I'm as frequent as I am available as I'm present. And why should this really be our bother? In the earlier verse that we read, and that's one of my very favorite verses in the Bible when I think about Jesus. 28:18 through 20. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go ye and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you even to the end of age. Now, these are Jesus' last words. And that's what this passage, Luke, is recording in Acts and saying. This is what Jesus really focused on and expounded it. So in verse 9, Acts 1, 9, and he said this, after he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Verse 10 says, they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. When Jesus comes back, what do you think he will ask us?
By the way, and there are two ways. He could come back or we could go. Sindio? Or we'll face him. We'll meet him. What do you think? What one question do you think he will ask us?
Conversation yetu nafikiria itaanzia mahali iliishia, sindio? This was his last words. Be witnesses. So I think the conversation will be, have you been, you know? Nilisema mwende mka? Mka kuwe witnesses. Have you been doing this? Na siku kwa cha peke yako, nilikulood. I made sure I uploaded you with enough bundles of the Holy Spirit. Umekuwa ukitumia? Ama umekuwa utu ukitumia for your other? For me, myself and I. The reason we have the Holy Spirit is not for myself. It's for him. And the big job that he has given me is to reach out to the world. And that world could be as small as my family. That world could be as small as my office. That world could be as big as the platform that the world, that God has given me at any one particular point. That world could be, you know, the company that I am the director of, or it could be an organization that I work under. It could be through my profession. That's my world. And he calls me to be a witness all the time. And he will ask me when he is back, he will ask me, what have you been doing? What have you been doing? What have you been doing?
So friends, I strive to live with that in mind. Because when he comes back, one of my desires is to say, I did it. I utilize the Holy Spirit for the purpose that you gave it to me. I witnessed. I shared your love in all the instances that I found. So let's go and be witnesses in our family, at our jobs, in our workplaces, in our office, in our profession, in the policies that we are drafting and we are creating. Let Jesus be there for posterity. Pray that, you know, were there some believers who are involved in River Galana project that was supposed to have sorted us out from famine? Did they bolt out because they could not be associated anymore with what was not right that was happening? Or did they stick in and they are part of the reason why we are in the mess? Did the Holy Spirit prompt them? We serve a God who is gracious and merciful. So, I mean, we can come back and begin afresh and do the right thing and utilize the Holy Spirit for his glory. Family altar, Bible study at home, having gospel conversation with our children. Hospitality, just inviting guys and just telling them, come. And you celebrate with them and at the end of the moment, you just tell them, have you heard about Jesus? Let's create as many opportunities in our neighborhood. That young man that you see and you're really concerned about them, what have you done about it? The fact that you're concerned about them is that's God's prompting to you. What have you done? Have you prayed? Have you taken a step to just talk to this person and ask them, how can I help you? I'm praying for you, and I think that the path that you're taking is not very good, but I'm praying for you, and I would be glad if we'd have some time just to catch up and talk. Marketplace. This calling of preaching and sharing the gospel is not for pastors only. It is for all of us who has the Spirit of God. It's not for Sunday morning only. It is for all the time and all the places. As I end, I have a gift. Who in the last 1 week has obeyed, if they felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit, they felt the prompting of, you know, God just telling them, go and speak to this person, and you had a gospel conversation with someone in this last week? Apart from pastor, you give his appear pastor. Somewhere, at a workplace or in a home or somewhere, you had a gospel conversation with someone. Because you felt, this is a moment that I really need to capture and share the word. And you did it. Come over. Come, yes. She's a Washiro. A hero. What was that?
I had an interview. I'm looking for a job. I had an interview, and it was one of those kind of days where everything went wrong. At first, my laptop, I had forgotten the cable that you that you charge your laptop with, and my laptop died in the car. So when I got, it was out of town, so when I got to the hotel where I was staying, and I wasn't able, like my laptop literally was dead, and I hadn't taken the USB, which was my presentation for the interview. I hadn't actually uploaded it on there. And I just prayed, you know, one of those, you're like, oh Jesus, please work. And it worked for about maybe 65 seconds, and I was able to get my presentation onto my USB. And I had a conversation with my mom about what had just happened. And we talked about how God sometimes can give you a predicament for his glory. And it just reminded me that Jesus is always there, no matter what. And it's important to share with someone else or give a testimony of what God did for you today. Now be still and know that I am God.
Amen. Amen. Here. May you record more of those moments, and even more, grab opportunities and share the story with people who have, you know, you see somebody in a mess, just bring your story in there and sneak Jesus into your conversations. Allow the Holy Spirit just to enable you just to sneak Jesus into your conversations. May we pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit, who enables us to do what we would not ordinarily do, to share the gospel at all times. We have missed opportunities, we have missed chances, but we pray, Lord, that you would quicken us to sneak you into conversations, normal conversations, at a workplace, in our homes, on the streets, that we would exhibit you in our talk, in our actions, in everything we do, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.